Welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles. Hosted by two friends who manage cemeteries in the Twin Cities, this podcast takes you behind the gates and into the unique world of cemeteries. Join us as we share heartfelt stories, unexpected humor, and the profound moments that come with a career dedicated to honoring life and legacy. Here are your hosts, Dominic Pierre and Bobby Schoenrock.
All right, well, welcome back, Bobby. We are here, episode number 2. Can you believe it? We made it to 2.
Yeah, we're still going. I'm surprised, but here we are.
We got some positive feedback via email, so thank you everybody who did who emailed us. It was very kind to hear from y'all, and yeah, I think it was a success. I think we're having fun doing it. So here we are, episode number 2. Whoever would have thought when we started this that we'd make it to number 2, but here we are.
Yeah, I thought we were definitely done after number 1. But some good positive feedback, a lot of laughs. I've passed it on to a few family members and some of my good friends, and you know, they're all laughing. They think it's great because they kind of know my personality, and they said, "Boy, that Dominic has a similar personality, just like you."
yeah, and also I played it for my wife. My wife wanted to hear it, and she had some very constructive criticism for me. She's like, "You know that Bobby? He's really good, but Dominic, you could really improve on this and this and this." And so let's see here. I think it was yeah. I said quite a bit, so I'll try to be cognizant about my yas tonight. There we go. Our number 1. So I should just start checking these off how many times I say ums. Yeah. So I'll try to be good about that and try to be better about that. But she gave no criticism for you, Bobby. She said you were great. So
yeah, I mean, I kind of figured that was going to happen. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. So so anyways, shall we start? We were kind of talking about what we should talk about today, and I think what we'll title this episode, because the first episode we titled Good Luck, I think it was, because yeah, it was our first one. But this one I think will be about hiring seasonal employees and just employees and HR kind of in general. We kind of chatted about that. We thought that might be a good topic for this evening, because now we're starting to get into, well, we're looking forward to spring, even though we're in a deep freeze right now and snow. But we got to start figuring out what we're going to do for the summer help, because that's coming down the pike pretty quick.
Yeah, and it sneaks up on us fast. If we aren't proactive, things come up quick, and away we go, and we're caught without help, and then we're in big trouble.
Yeah, exactly. So here we go. So I know that you're exploring some different options here for summer help. In the past for us here. Before we start that, we should really go back and say we didn't get advice from a lawyer on this, but if a lawyer did want to sponsor the episode, we'd be willing to to say your name right now, because I assume a lawyer is going to tell us that we should do this. Whatever I say does not represent Union Cemetery or Minnesota Association of Cemeteries. And Bobby, whatever you say does not represent Oakland Cemetery or Minnesota Association of Cemeteries. So don't hold them liable for what we say. This is just opinions and thoughts that we're talking about here.
Yep. Just two guys that have worked in the business for a long time and just having some fun. And we are a part of the cemeteries, and we are a part of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries. But we're just doing this to kind of get out there what we do for a living and how things are done. And maybe we're doing them the right way, maybe we're not, but this is how we do it.
I figure we get that disclaimer out there right away. We didn't do that the last episode, but I thought about it. Yeah, we probably should do a disclaimer like that. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. I know that hiring seasonal workers here, luckily I have had a lot of luck hiring without having to use temp services. We've been able to be fully staffed. It was probably about 10 years ago that we were exclusively almost all high school and college age kids, where we'd get high school kids after school would be coming here, you know, 2:30, 3 o'clock to work for an hour and a half after high school. And then once they got done with school, be here, you know, 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. I was one of those kids when I was 16 cutting grass out here. And then it seems like it abruptly shifted. All of a sudden, I couldn't find anybody who was younger, and we almost went exclusively with retired guys. Yeah, I don't know about what your experience was.
Yeah, so we had a heck of a run with high school, college kids. We like to try to get a couple college kids, a couple high school kids, and try to get them to keep returning. Again, I was one of them, as were, you know, a group 4 or 5 of my friends. did it when we were in high school. And the college kids are nice because they can come a little earlier and then they can stay maybe a touch later. Some of the high school kids seem like they want to go on vacation right before school starts, so that doesn't work. But, yeah, we're having the same problem now. We can't seem to find, you know, people under the age of 25, I would even say, that really want to work that 40-hour-a-week, all-week-long job, and we're finding it harder and harder. And so we had to kind of dip into the pool of older workers and in the 25 plus range, which is fine, but it's tough because then they want more money and they want to be on longer and they want that full-time position, which unfortunately for a cemetery, it's just too hard to do.
Yeah.
So many people at full-time positions. We only have so much money to go around, and come wintertime, there's just not enough work for everyone.
Yeah, and that's where we found it very promising to find individuals who are retired, guys who are done with their career, you know, 65, 70 years old, and they decided to, like, hey, you know, part-time I can go out there and get some fresh air and get out there and cut some grass, put the headphones on, not having to worry about, you know, customers, you know, individuals. I can just go out there and I think a big thing too is you, when you cut grass, and you see this, I love it if I can get out there, because you see, especially when the grass is growing so long, you witness the completion. Like when you cut something, it looks so nice when you're done. It's immediate gratification. So it feels so good. And I think a lot of old retired guys like that. However, how we maintain retired guys, we have to be very, very flexible with their hours. And we have guys that, I golf on Monday and Friday, so I'm going to need Monday and Fridays off. And it's like, okay, that's, hey, if that works for you, then I can find a guy who needs, you know, Wednesdays off or whatever it is, or work 4 hours a week or 4 hours a day because I can't work a full 8 hours. You just have more retired guys than you would a full-time staff, which then cuts in the workers' comp insurance and things like that. Everything like that goes up. But however, as long as if we can be flexible, we can find guys. So that's been working for us as of late.
Yeah. And I think that's the key thing is, you know, how do we move forward, and how do we go about finding people that want to work more? Or do we find people that want to work Monday, Tuesday, and then somebody that wants to work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Or like you said, they want Monday, Friday off. And so you find someone that'll work Monday, Friday, and then they can work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. What's the best solution? I don't know. Yeah. I wish, again, there's no handbook for how to run a cemetery and how to hire your summer and seasonal help. So if there was, it'd be great. But there's no perfect solution. Years past, we've been fortunate to get 3, 4, 5 seasonal helpers, and then some years, 3 is the max we can find.
Yeah.
And you're running a skeleton crew, and you're working a lot more hours than you want to work, and things get a little more difficult. But in this business, we have to do what we can do and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this year I'm definitely going to be experiencing a first for myself. For a few years, we've had the pleasure of having our whole basically grass cutting crew kind of come back year after year. It's been a group of retired guys who've come back for now. It's been, I think, 3-4 years where I haven't had to worry about it. I know every spring they'll be there all the way until fall. But they are starting to get to that age where they're like, you know what, I need to just hang up everything. My wife wants me home. I need to be with the grandkids. And so
that's a tough one. A wife wants you home all the time.
Well, I think maybe the kids have grandkids that need to be babysat. I think that's what's going on.
I don't think the wives actually want them home. I think they'd much prefer them to come here and work.
Yeah, you're probably right. Get that little extra check. but they're, so we're going to be short this summer. I do have a couple applications actually from some younger kids, so we might be reverting back, but we might be short too. And I don't know exactly how I'm going to handle it. It's been a long time since I've actually had to actively look for seasonal help. And I know you've had a little bit, you haven't been as lucky as I have, I think, in years past. Typically what I do is I just ask you, who's your best seasonal help and what are you paying them? I'll give them $1 more an hour. And, no, I'm joking. Yeah. We haven't done that, but it's not a bad idea.
Yep, yep. And if your tires are slashed tomorrow, I don't know who did it. Yeah, we've not been as fortunate, and it's wild today. Putting things on Indeed, Monster Jobs, whatever it is, trying to find people, Facebook. I've put, you know, things on social media. It's amazing the amount of people that don't show up for interviews.
Yeah.
That's set, they go through the whole process of setting up an interview, reaching out, and then don't show up.
What do you think it is that stops them?
I don't know. I would be embarrassed.
Yeah,
you know, personally, but I come from a little different time and grew up a little different where you're either working, and if you're not working, you better be in school.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you better have a full-time job. So things are a little different now, and I don't know. I mean, there was even times where we were trying to find full-time help and offering what I thought was pretty competitive wage, and again, people just don't even show up. And so it's tough. You don't know where to go from there, and you're calling other cemeteries. You have any applications? And actually, we've had help from another cemetery where they said, we've filled up. Here's a couple extra applications that we got, and we hired a few guys that actually applied to work at different cemeteries.
Yeah.
1 year, because we were really just couldn't find anyone.
Yeah, and typically a lot of those times, especially if other cemeteries are willing to share that information, it's probably because they vetted them and said, hey, you're good. You're a good employee. I just don't have room for you. Like, hey, especially when you have a good applicant come through the door and I can't hire you because I just don't have room. I feel bad because I want to employ a person that can be employed, you know, that is a good worker. So you actively try to find other places. Like, hey, I have good relationships with all these other cemeteries. You need people. I got a guy here.
Yeah, and that's a thing. You know, as cemeteries, we don't really necessarily battle from, you know, place to place for business. You know, our goal is to serve our communities and do what we can for people in a very difficult time. So if we can help another cemetery out by sending them business, sending them employees, whatever we can, sending them our employees to help them if they're really busy, whatever works, you know, we try to do that. And, you know, we were fortunate, like I said, to get some applications from other places and were able to hire some guys that actually worked out pretty good for a couple years.
Yeah.
Last year we were fortunate where we had four or five guys come and work and it was a good group, but two of them left before the end of the fall and to go for another jobs. Yeah. And so, you know, here we are again, and it's getting to a point where it's harder and harder to find people. And like you said, a few of us cemeteries are exploring other ways on how we can do this, temp services, you know, seasonal temps where you actually hire through a temp service for the whole season, how it works, what's the cost. There are a lot of things factor in.
Yeah. I mean, even tempted. Yeah. I think you've done something like this in the past, but like have your wallet full of business cards. Cause you're out there and you go to Menards and you get like, hey, this young kid and he's excellent service. You'd be like, hey, like you thinking about something else? I might have a gig that pays a little bit better. You know, here's my card. Give me a call. You know, you hate to try to poach on the job, but
we've done it. I'm not going to lie about it. My dad's done it. We've tried to poach some, I won't say what rental place, but we've tried to poach some rental place people when, you know, they're great workers and we are looking for good full-time help. And, you know, but it's the taboo of the cemetery business too, where you kind of tell them, hey, come work at the cemetery. And they're like, what? Wait, no, that's dead bodies, right?
Yeah. Do I have to dig holes? Do I have to fill in holes? Like, oh yeah, occasionally. I mean, yeah. Oh, that's too weird. That's man, it's exactly. How many times have you talked to employees that have come and been like a little creeped out in the beginning, but then it's like, oh, there's nothing to that. I don't see anybody. I see a concrete box. That's all I see. Yeah.
Yep. And that's the fact of it, the matter. Is you know, like we have a full-time guy who's going on 11, 12 years with us now, And again, one of the hardest workers I've known. He was a friend of mine growing up. Wasn't quite sure how it was going to work out, you know, working with a friend, but I just knew his work ethic. And the hardest part was getting him in the door. But once you get him in the door, they realize that, again, you don't do burials all day, every day, and that's all you ever do. There's so much more to the job.
Yep.
There's maintaining, you know, again, we have 100 acres, but whatever size cemetery you have, there's maintenance on the cemetery. There's fixing water lines, fixing equipment, fixing roads, learning how to pour concrete, you know, setting markers, putting stakes in the ground, whatever it is that you have to do. There's just a lot of maintenance that has to go along with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also talk, I mean, all my full-time guys, that's the one thing that they'll tell you they enjoy about the job the most is the fact that it's so different. Everything, there's so much variety to it. I mean, they're fixing irrigation lines one day to using big, you know, fun equipment as backhoes and trucks and moving earth around, and then another day and, you know, and fixing mowers and just doing maintenance on machinery. There's so much to the job, and they find joy in not having just the mundane, you know, same thing day after day.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like I've always said, when you work outside and in the elements too, you're going to have good days and bad days. But in this business, I feel like the good days outweigh the bad days by far.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you're able to help people, you know, I think it really brings another light to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you realize what you're doing.
Yeah.
No matter what, it's a job for all of the people that work there, but it's how they look at it and take pride in it.
Yeah.
But that's another thing, though, when you're trying to find seasonal help, is it's hard to find people who want to take pride in the work and in the job.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many times, I mean, it's constant. I guarantee I could take you out to our break room right now and open that fridge, and there's cases of beer that people bring our ground staff out there for thanks for just how well you take care of the cemetery, and bags of candy. People bring bags of candy for them, and just the things that people bring for gratitude to the ground staff, and they just love that aspect so much that they are actually making a difference in people's lives, especially when it's a tough time in people's lives. They can make that difference, and it's a meaningful job.
Yeah. And I would never let my staff have beer. I would have to confiscate that and make sure that it goes home with me.
Should we run out there and grab it right now? Should we crack a couple?
Yeah, there you go.
No, to all my employees, we are not going out and raiding your beer. If you're listening. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but that stuff, I mean, that doesn't apply too much to seasonal employees. I mean, the gratification and everything does apply to seasonal employees, but the variety of the job is not necessarily there. They're either usually typically weed whipping or grass cutting. I mean, they're occasionally helping fill in a burial. At least here they are, and occasionally helping with other things. But it's not necessarily as much variety, but I think that's the enjoyment for the guys who do that. I mean, I think personally, the best job in this cemetery is cutting grass. The moments I can get out there and put headphones in and just tune out the world and just go to town cutting grass is the time I enjoy the best. But the problem is, when I do that, I'm the highest paid employee or highest paid grass cutter ever. You know? I don't need to do that.
Yeah, that's the hard part. But I think if you ask the men or the women who cut grass at home, you know, there's a reason why a lot of people who have nice yards are out there a lot. And a lot of it is the solitude and the peace and quiet, and where you don't have to think about 10,000 things at once. You can just focus on your straight lines and going back and forth and making it look nice. And then you look back and it looks beautiful after you're done. So that's a big thing too. And I agree. I, you know, whenever I get a chance to, it's always fun to get out and go out and cut grass and get caught up and kind of do the things that you did when you first started. But today's world is a little different with the workers. And again, it's just hard to find people that want to put that time in. You know, they want to work 20 hours. And for us at Oakland, I mean, we just don't have, it's either 40 hours or, you know, we got to be close to 40 hours.
Yeah.
I've had numerous people come in and tell us hey, I'll work Monday, Tuesday, but we video game on Wednesdays and sometimes Thursday morning, so I can't come in Thursday till afternoon and then Friday. And it's like, well, that's not going to work.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do too? And I guess, can you guarantee 40 hours in the summer at least your grass cutters? Do you do anything for rain days? What do you do there?
Yeah, so that's one thing too is, you know, like a lot of construction companies, landscape companies, if it rains, they're done. They're not working.
Yeah.
If it rains at our place, we're changing oil, we're sharpening blades, we're greasing lawnmowers, we're washing vehicles, we're cleaning out mausoleums, we're cleaning out the chapel, we're picking up the sticks, we're emptying garbage barrels. That's the thing about when you have 100 acres to, yeah. You know, I say this with utmost respect, but we babysit. Yeah. Really, 100 acres, and again, whatever acreage you have as a cemetery, you have to maintain it, and
yep.
It doesn't just stop when the rain comes.
Yeah.
Funerals don't stop, and sometimes we have to have our seasonal help with funerals. It's pretty rare for us to send somebody home. We try to keep them, but we pretty much guarantee them for the most part 40 hours a week. Very rare, you know, if they come in and we do send them home, it's at noon. So yeah. They're going to get at minimum, you know, 36 hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And that's, we try to do that too. When I was cutting grass here when I was 16, and I don't want to say how many years ago that was, because that would,
just so, like 10, maybe five.
Yeah, exactly. We would send grass cutters home, and I would get phone calls from the grass cutters in the morning, like, hey, it's raining today. Do you want me today or whatnot? And to be honest, when you're 16, you kind of look at the forecast and be like, hey,
yeah.
It's supposed to rain tomorrow. I'm going to be out a little later tonight because yep. I probably don't. And then when it doesn't rain, the poor, oh, crap, man.
Yeah.
but yeah, now we try to have everybody come in and I mean, it happens where grass cutters come in and they'll be like, you know what, it's raining today, you mind if I cut out? Like, yeah, I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
If you're not out there cutting grass, but we'll find things for you to do. There's plenty of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Even if it's just maintaining the equipment, as in cleaning the equipment, because clean equipment is going to last longer for you, so there's
yeah.
nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And you know, we definitely take a lot of pride in the fact of, you know, we can't afford to buy new equipment year in, year out. Every,
yeah.
you know, new machines constantly, new trucks constantly. So we try to maintain as best we can.
Yeah.
So, but again, that's another hard part in seasonal employees, trying to get them to understand that, you know, just, we take a lot of pride in how our vehicles look or
yes.
how our equipment looks. And there's a reason for that. And so that can be a tough task, a tall task to get them to get on the same page, because some of them don't wash their vehicle, you know,
yeah.
and they use it as a garbage can.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing to be said too, that I think everybody who's listening should visit Oakland Cemetery just to see how clean their trucks are. It's amazing how clean you keep your vehicles. And I think it's an admirable thing. And I think it's a great thing. That we should actually implement a little bit more of. I mean, we do clean our vehicles, but not to the extent that Oakland does. And I think it's a great thing. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing what it shows, though, for pride of work for people who are coming in the cemetery and seeing just clean, maintained things, that you keep things nice. They know you're going to keep their loved ones cared for.
Yeah. And, you know, that all stems from not me. It comes from my dad far before my time, and all the people that came before me that he had to deal with, was, you know, he just said, if we're going to pay, you know, $30,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 for a piece of equipment, we're going to make darn sure that we're taking care of it.
$60,000 now, if you want to get a truck
yeah.
with a plow on it, you're talking $80,000, $90,000. And that's a one ton. I mean, we're talking new here, but one ton, bare bones. It's incredible how much vehicles are now.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I will tell you that one time my dad, got on us for a couple dents in the vehicle, and I looked at him and I said, this is just a work truck.
Oh boy.
And boy, he pulled me in the office real fast and said, you don't ever say that.
Yeah.
It's not just a work truck. He said, if we treat it like it's just a work truck, then it's going to have damage, and we're going to be okay with the damage, and we're not okay with damaging the vehicles.
Yep.
Or, you know, running them into the ground and having them look like crap. So it puts things in perspective. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And like I said, I noticed, and I mean, if I'm noticing, I'm guarantee everybody's noticing the cleanliness and just the care and pride that you have, and you know your staff has for the equipment there, and that goes to show the pride that you have for the cemetery grounds itself.
Yeah, like I said, I can only speak for us and kind of how we do things, but you know, we try to wash all of our equipment on Fridays, and just try to keep things as long as we can, because again, as a cemetery and a nonprofit, we don't have a ton of money to sit and throw at new equipment constantly, and it just doesn't work that way. And we'd much rather get new fence and repave some roads and you know, put some new curbing in somewhere or be able to do other things than have to constantly buy new equipment.
Yeah, and there's probably one of the best rewards, and when I cut grass out here, and it seems like it works too with the employees that we have now too, is on, you know, those 100-degree days you have out there, you just say, hey, instead of going out there and working hard and sweating and just clean this equipment. I mean, and you're playing with water all day. You're feeling, you're cooling yourself down. It's one of the best things you can let an employee do on those 100-degree days too. That's a good incentive there.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
But back to kind of seasonal employees, I know that you're looking into some different options here for seasonal employees this summer. And I'm kind of interested to hear what you're doing because it might be something I might need to do myself.
Yeah, we've talked with a couple companies. We've always used a temp service to come in and kind of help us right before Memorial Day. Usually do a one round, maybe two times through of the weed eating or the string trimming because we just can't get to it. Mm-hmm. Once Memorial Day is over, then all the guys who cut grass for us, that's what they do part of the time. But we've always used a company, and now we're hearing more and more about these companies that are actually supplying cemeteries with all their seasonal help for the whole year. And they're getting them from a pool of people who have done this job or been in landscape or lawn mowing. So far the research is going pretty good. The biggest thing is cost evaluation, right? What's it going to cost? If we go through them, we don't have to pay the workman's comp and the tax stuff on there and hold the insurance and it's less when we do our payroll stuff because we have less paychecks to put out. And
well, let me ask you that. How does that work with having a temp service? Basically, from what I understand, now correct me if I'm wrong, is these employees don't technically work for you. They work for this temp service. And any HR need, any payroll needs goes through this temp service. They're just on your grounds, and you're their boss then? They're basically contractors?
Correct. Okay. Yep. It's kind of like a subcontractor.
Okay.
And you sub it out to this company. They find the employees. They get them there. And unfortunately, I kind of think that's where things are going now.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that for sure, and it's nothing against any of these companies. It's just that it would be nice to have your own employees and be able to keep hiring the same kind of group of kids or young adults or people to keep working for you. But it's just getting harder and harder to find the help.
Yeah, and so they'll guarantee you a certain number of employees that it. Now, if an employee doesn't work out or just doesn't gel, you just call up the company and say, hey, don't send Joe anymore, I want a different guy. So
yep. Okay. You can call them back, say, hey, you know, so-and-so didn't work out, they're just not getting it, or they may not like it, we have that. What am I going to be doing all day? I'm going to be string trimming and weed eating for 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go back to stuffing envelopes at a different job
or whatever
they're able to do. And so that's what's kind of intriguing about some of these companies we're talking to now, is that they have more people geared towards this type of work.
Yeah.
So they kind of know what to expect. Whereas before, some of the temp help we've had, it's just, they're coming in for 3 weeks. They're doing some string trimming. They may be packing boxes. They may be packing envelopes. And they have all these other jobs that they've done, the janitorial services, whatever they're doing. They're just finding them jobs all over, where the hope is kind of some of these companies that we've been talking to if they're geared towards more of a landscape, a lawn mowing company, that they know what they're getting into.
Yeah.
And so it's someone that you could keep for, you know, April to through November and not have a problem.
Yeah.
And then they can get them some work for the winter, and then you can get them back.
Well, and I might be putting you on the spot with this question, but what happens? So let's say one of the employees wants a couple days off. They go through the temp service then to ask for those days off, and then does the temp service send you a different employee for those couple days?
Yeah, so that can happen there. I'm in kind of the newer talks with some of these other ones on a long-term things. But it kind of sounds like all the vacation stuff goes through them too.
Okay.
But if needed, they'll send you more people, whatever you need. So they're kind of, you know, that's the thing that, you know, in the past, we obviously haven't had that luxury, right? Someone needs time off. They work for you.
Yeah.
You don't have anybody to replace them. With these companies now, they're talking, you know, someone needs a week off, then they'll send somebody else over for a week.
Interesting.
So
now how about a Saturday? Let's say they come on a Saturday. Do you have to pay overtime?
I would assume so. Okay. I haven't quite got that far yet with it. But, you know, in my opinion, if anybody's going to come work on a Saturday, you're going to pay them overtime.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just going from the budgeting standpoint, I mean, it sounds like it could be fairly nice to know, like, hey, I'm going to budget for, I don't know, 120 grass cutting hours this week, and I'm going to get those 120 hours even if somebody calls in sick or goes on vacation, because they're going to send me somebody else, something like that. And I know what to expect. I know what I need.
Yeah.
Because if you're like me, I've become a little bit more analytical on even our grass cutting. Like, I'm down to the point where we know how it takes 45 minutes to cut this section. It takes an hour and a half to cut this one guy to cut this section with a 62-inch mower, 61-inch mower, whatever it is, so that we can plan our day accordingly and have objectives and goals of what we need to meet for a day, especially when it becomes before Memorial Day and the grass is growing, you know, 5-6 inches a week. How to plan for it, how to make the cemetery look the best. And we're only 60 acres here, so we're smaller than you. To try to figure out how to get the cemetery cut twice in the week before Memorial Day, so that it is absolutely looking it's superb as best it can the weekend before Memorial Day, and trying to plan all that out. And it's all about hours and what kind of goal we need to hit this day, what kind of goal we can hit this day, and that makes it pretty easy to budget that and plan that if you can guarantee those hours.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know as well as I do, you can plan all you want in this business, and your day changes 12 times by the end of it. But we're the same way. You know, at 100 acres, we try to cut the cemetery twice in that week before Memorial Day, and that's where we're working the 9-10 hour days, and then we work that full Saturday before Memorial Day. And you know, if you're wondering why do you emphasize that so much, is a lot of people, that will be the only time that they come to the cemetery.
Yeah.
And so we try to make it look as good as we can, because that might be the only time that they're there for the whole year.
Yeah.
And it's not saying that we take less care on other times. It's just that is kind of the busiest time we get.
Yeah.
The grass grows the most in the spring.
Yeah, well, it's the perfect storm. You can't maneuver your way around the cemetery without hitting cars. They're everywhere. People are trying to go out and put decorations or whatnot right in front of your mowers. And then also the grass is growing 6 inches a week. It's the perfect storm right at that time, because when you're getting into June and July, the grass slows down.
Yeah, big time. So it's quite a difference, because sometimes I always wonder, well, why did it take us so long to get everything done in May? And then in June, we're weed whipping and cutting grass, and somehow we get everything done.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Well, I mean, and you've had this too, and this goes back to our last conversation on the last episode, where it's so frustrating because you work so hard and then people will still complain. But the week before Memorial Day, I feel like you're going gangbusters trying to cut the cemetery. You're going absolutely insane. But the grass is growing so fast, and now everybody has off Monday. Even if you wanted to cut the grass on that Monday of Memorial Day, you couldn't, because the cemetery is so insane with people. And the grass over the 2 days that you didn't cut grew 2 inches and you'll get the calls on Tuesday. Yeah, your cemetery looks like crap. What, you're not cutting? Like, are you serious? Or you got to be joking me?
Yeah.
But it's that time of year. It's just crazy.
Yeah. I usually venture to ask the question, how many times have you cut your grass at home this week?
Well, I have an HOA. I don't have to worry about that. So they tell you. Yeah. And it goes back to the folks that are doing that. You just have to realize that's the only conversation probably they're having with somebody because they lost a loved one. They're probably lonely at home and this is the conversation they can have. If it's complaining, it's complaining. And, you know, you just take it with a grain of salt because usually around Memorial Day, you're getting complimented left and right from folks. So to take one negative comment from somebody and have, you know, 150 positive comments from other people, I'll take that ratio all day long.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys get positive comments? No. But the whole thing to your point is new ways of hiring, new people coming in. Is this going to be the new way? Are we going to stick with how we did before? I can't predict the future. But right now, this is kind of where we're at.
Yeah.
So we have to start looking into this stuff.
Well, tell me more about this. So because you've explored these options a little bit. So what, without getting into details, what you pay your grass cutters and things like that, but what is cost? Do they percentage wise? What do they get?
It seems like a pretty good markup. You know, the little over 50% markup is what they're looking for to start.
So if you, just for an example, pay $10 an hour, you'd be paying the service $15 for your employee.
Yep. Okay. Correct. Yeah, but you're not paying for any of the, you know, extra check for the payroll, the insurance,
your payroll processing fees,
you know, all the other things that go along with it. You're not paying that because they're taking care of that vacation stuff. Because as we know now, that everyone gets
the sick time
now. So that's a new deal.
An hour for every 30 hours worked. I think that's what it is in the state of Minnesota. Yeah.
Yeah. So now, I mean, there's a lot more that, again, we have to go through.
Yep.
And so there's a lot more to think about and how do we find the right people and how do we do this? How do we do that? Is it easier to go through a service? Is it easier to hire on your own? Those are all great questions. And Dominic and I go to cemetery meetings and everybody's talking about kind of the same thing.
This is really a topic on hand. You're definitely right. It comes up many, many times. You initially kind of gulp 50%, but then you start thinking about that. I mean, you're almost at 10% alone in payroll taxes and in workers' comp insurance, at least 10%. Not to mention, I don't know, we offer a retirement plan, 4% matching for everybody who works here, including our grass cutters. I mean, I don't know since they wouldn't be working for you, you wouldn't have to do that. They'd be working for another company. I don't know what that other company offers them. They probably don't get a retirement plan that way, but that's another savings right there that I don't have to do. And also just the HR costs. You don't have to deal with the headaches of fielding those phone calls like, hey, can't be in the work today, or having to talk to having uncomfortable conversations with employees on, hey, you're just not working out here. You have that conversation with the hirings or the temp service.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like I said, is this the answer? Don't know yet. I mean, some of the cemeteries are outsourcing the grass cutting, right? Yeah. I don't know if any of these things are the answers. It all costs money. Yeah. And it all has to be taken care of and paid for somehow, some way.
Yeah.
And so what's the best way? I don't have all the answers. Again, no textbook here. But I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. None of us really have all the answers. It's where do we go from here?
Yeah.
What's best for each cemetery from here? And everyone's different. Big cemeteries, small cemeteries, everyone has to figure out what is going to best serve their cemetery. Again, I do like having the employees that you've hired, that you've, you know, vetted yourself. You can look yourself in the mirror and say, maybe I made a mistake. And, or you can get on them a little bit, more, I feel like, when you're the one who hired them and you gave them the expectations up front rather than when you have someone coming from somewhere else. Excuse me.
I'll cut that out.
Having someone come from somewhere else, you know, they're talking with them and getting, you know, some of their feedback from them. So they're not getting everything from you per se. Yeah. So, I don't know. Where do we go? That's the biggest question.
You know, where I could see this becoming really an intriguing, not that it's not intriguing already, but starting in 2026, and I don't mean, I don't want to start a political conversation here, but starting in 2026, we're going to have that Family Medical Leave Act basically an employee can leave for up to 20 weeks, actually up, I think up to 20 weeks, which is almost half a year. And basically it paid through the government for the care of a loved one, giving birth. Like I said, I don't want it to become a political argument. Like if it's positive or negative, that's the case. I can see that becoming that people may take advantage of that a little bit. And if you have a grass cutter all of a sudden calling in and say, hey, I'm not going to work for the next, you know, 15, 20 weeks, whatever it is, that's, especially if you hired them and I have no replacement for you, that becomes difficult. Whereas with you have a hiring service, okay, hey, if you're off for 15, 20 weeks, send me a new guy. You know, I need this many grass cutters. So if one person can't work out for that long, I need somebody else.
Yeah. And that's the tough part, right? You know, when my kids were born, I don't remember getting that much time off, but, yeah, they, you know, it's new and it's what's going on, but it's kind of like everything. Like when we went through COVID, nobody wanted to work.
Yeah.
Right. We were as busy as we've ever been and we couldn't find help because people could stay at home and get money.
Yep.
So, you know, is this going to be another thing like that where, you know, I can take care of a sick family member, get money for it and not have to go to work? I don't want to disregard that, you know, what they're doing, taking care of someone, isn't important.
Yeah.
But the world, if everyone took off and, you know, took care of people and took care of that, you know, we wouldn't have any workers.
It's definitely going to be an impact on small businesses.
Yeah.
I mean, for us to lose an employee for that amount of time, it's tough. I mean, if it's right or wrong, I don't even want to get in that conversation. It's just, it's going to be tough. I mean, that's like a fifth of your workforce or a third or a half or whatever it is for you. That's a hard thing to, that's a hard pill to swallow. But also at the same point, keeping good employees, you need to treat them right.
Yeah. And that's a hard part, you know, with seasonal employees in this business, like this time of year in the wintertime, we don't have bushes to trim, grass to cut, monuments to weed whip around, monuments to edge, flowers to water. So there's less work in the winter. So we can't keep people on and pay because, again, we don't have the money to support that.
Yeah.
You know, year round having 10, 12 people on a cemetery. And so it's kind of like a landscape company, you know, they're not going to keep people on all winter long to build retaining walls when they can't build retaining walls.
Yep.
So we have to find that happy median in what can we do and how do we want to do it and how many people can we do it with? And every cemetery is different and everybody has their own kind of way about doing things, but you know, it's all, again, once, you know, you lose a worker for 20 weeks, that's a huge hit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we've all been there where we've had people get hurt and had to go out. I broke a leg in 2007 and was in crutches for 7-8 weeks and then a walking boot for 4 more.
Wait, did you do that at work?
I did do it at work. Oh. It was not a fun time for me.
What did the boss have to say about that?
He was not happy. Well, put it this way, we were so busy that he just dumped me off at the hospital and I just sat there by myself. And then they told me I'm going to need surgery. And then I kind of had to wait another 45 minutes to get picked up because we were too busy.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it was an interesting time. But I ended up coming in and actually working in the office and doing things because of the fact that we couldn't run with less people. I mean, it was too hard. I came in, I plowed with crutches on. I brought funerals in Just didn't get out of the truck, you know, would bring a funeral in, and then they would kind of look at me like, where's he going?
Yep.
But just because we were too busy and, you know, we have more funerals, so I helped out as much as I could. But losing someone for that amount of time is really hard on a small business.
Oh, it is. But it goes back to, like I said, the treating employees, right? Because I feel when you have that, for lack of a better term, the family atmosphere of your workforce, where you know, hey, that when times get tough, you'll be out there as their boss helping them and you have their back. Or if something happens in their life where, hey, they need childcare for the day and I need to get off, whatever it is, and you're like, and you work with them, that when times get tough the other way, they'll help you out when you need it.
Yeah.
And working it all out. Like when situations arise, like, hey, I need to care for mom for a few weeks. How can we make this work? And also make sure that your needs are satisfied too at the cemetery, and also that you can take care of mom, whatever it needs to be done. Hopefully those conversations can be had.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's, like I said, the difference between a big business and small business, right? Big business, they just pass it on to someone else who can do your job. In a small business, there's not enough people to do your job. So when things like that happen, and they have, right? A parent has passed and people need a week off or a week and a half or 2 weeks off. And is it hard? Yes. Do you have to do more work? Yes. But you be there for the people for those 2 weeks, and they remember that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's where it's at too, because that's another rewarding part of our job is the people we work with and being able to help them out in times of crisis that they're going through in their life, and also just in being there too when there's positive things happening in their life, you know, weddings and things like that. It's fun. You have that nice tight-knit community that you work with, and that's another rewarding part of the job.
Yeah, I mean, I need my cousin's kids to grow up a little bit, because like when I was growing up, like I had second cousins coming and working for us, and you know, my dad's cousin's kids were getting to that age, and we had some really great crews of that stayed for 3-4 years.
Oh yeah,
seasonal help, and it was like a family.
Yeah,
you know, they are part of the family. Second cousin, not so much, right? You don't see them as much, but they were just grew up in hardworking homes, and they came in and were able to come in and pretty flawlessly and work for us for a lot of years. And it really helped, made my job a lot easier, because at that point I was running all the summer help. So it really helped me out.
Yeah. When I was cutting grass out here, when I was, you know, in high school, I had half a Tartans. Tartans, our local high school, at least where I'm at. Football team working out here. It was a great gig. I know you're probably surprised to know that the Tartan kids were actually hard workers, but but they were. And it was a great gig. You worked Monday through Friday. You typically had weekends off, occasionally a Saturday, but you know, it was during the day. You had every night off. You could go to any party you wanted to. You had money in your pocket. You had a nice tan because you were outside all the time. It was a great gig.
Yeah, I mean, ladies everywhere, right? Yeah, but that, I mean, true. You made a lot of money, actually, and that was a big draw with a lot of my friends when I was in high school, and even when a couple few came back, even when they were in college, it was the big draw was I can't make this kind of money anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get 40 hours at other jobs. At Menards, I get 20 or whatever, you know, whatever it was at the time. Only get so much hours and weren't getting the time. So a lot of kids coming home and they got to make the money because they got to go back to school in the fall and they got to pay for things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I might try that aspect this year too. Try to get some college kids that are in my life to try to come out here and cut some grass. We'll see. It's always still, hey, but Dominic, I'm home for the summer. I gotta relax. No. You need to make some money, dude. So any of my relatives who are listening, please forgive me. I'm not singling anybody out there, but
But I mean, we've put stuff up at colleges.
Yeah.
We put stuff up at Century College, Dunwoody College, and to no avail. A couple calls here and there, and you know, I think there's just so many different ways to make money now.
Yeah.
That you know, they can make money door dashing for 3 hours a day or whatever, or in the evening, or when they want to, they can sleep in. You know, The days of the 9 to 5 are kind of few and far between now.
Yeah.
I mean, even these kids going off to college, coming out of college, don't really want a 9 to 5 job.
Yeah. I think it's promoted too. I think it's actively promoted, especially in high school. You should enjoy this time of your life. You shouldn't be going out there and getting a job. That's so anti my belief, my thought. Like, no. Hard work. That's You learn so much through hard work. But the thought is, I'm supposed to enjoy my high school and college days. So when I have off, I need to enjoy that time. But it's like, I don't understand where kids get money nowadays if they aren't working. But apparently, They're getting funded somehow.
Yeah, mom and dad, I think.
Is that what's happening? You know? But with that, we're kind of getting to the end of their time here. I don't know if there's anything else you kind of wanted to recap, or did we miss anything that you wanted to chat about when it comes to this?
No, I mean, I think, if you're looking for work, come see Dom or I. looking for a nice summer gig, seasonal help, come see us. But other than that, I think it was, another productive show. Just kind of dialing into what's happening with seasonal help and in the cemetery business. And
hopefully the conversation can spur some thoughts for folks out there who are listening. And if they're dealing with the same issues, hopefully we can reaffirm your thoughts and just say, hey, we're all dealing with these same issues, trying to figure out how to manage it. And if you have any questions about it, feel free to shoot us an email. If you had questions about what we were talking about today, we'll definitely feel free to respond to you. And also keep on throwing some show comments out there if you have any questions or anything like that for us. info@mncemeteries.org. You can shoot me that email, and I definitely forward everything on the Bobby too, and we can think about what we want to talk about next time. Yeah.
I usually just try to get Dominic to answer the questions, but I guess I can help.
No, I think we're good. So show number 2 under our belts. What do you think?
Yeah, I think another one went well. And again, as soon as those sponsors, just keep them coming, keep coming in. And, pretty soon we'll be in this, we'll be doing videos and everything, I think, with that too.
Actually, we're thinking about that. Maybe we'll have to do the videos here sooner than later. We're thinking, because right now we're doing it, we're actually sitting at a table right now together just doing these podcasts, but eventually it probably isn't going to work out where we can just hop on a computer, you at your place, me at my place, and we'll do a video and we'll maybe post the video. But I don't know if people want to see our ugly mugs on a video.
I said we got faces for radio, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast so you're notified when new shows are posted. If you'd like to get a hold of us, please email us at info@mncemeteries.org.